The Real Estate Unsuccess Stories podcast features people from the real estate community sharing real stories about their struggles, pains, and even losses during their own real estate journey. We share these real experiences so you can learn from them and build a successful journey of your own. Now, here's your host, Cody Lewis, one of the managing partners at Vindu Capital, located in Charleston, South Carolina.
Hey, everyone, and welcome back to the show. I'm excited to have everyone, but let me tell you, I'm actually more excited to have our guest on today. They are the founders of Adventurous Real Estate Investors, Susie Sevier and Michael Barnhart. Thank y'all for joining us today. How are y'all?
Doing great, Cody. Thanks so much. We're really excited to be on your show.
Yeah, we're so happy to be here.
Oh, perfect. Well, listen, I say everything in the opening, but I truly mean it. You guys are awesome. I'm so excited to have y'all on. Pulling back the curtain a little bit. We've been having a blast before we hit record. I literally had to collect myself and stop laughing before we hit record. But for those along playing along at home, we're going to do our normal thing. We'd love to know a little bit about where y'all are from, how you got into real estate, and what kind of real estate you guys find yourself in these days.
Absolutely. So I'll try to make this not so long, but short and sweet. So Michael and I currently live in Cambridge, England. So Michael is active duty Air Force, getting his PhD at the University of Cambridge. And that's what brings us all the way to this side of the pond. And I am actually full-time real estate investor as of about like two-ish weeks ago. So that's been super exciting. But our entire journey actually started because of COVID-19 and the lockdowns. So when the entire world went virtual, we just saw this great opportunity. And this opportunity had not been something that we were like thinking about for years and years on end. We actually started a mini book club with one another because for our lockdown, all you could do was leave your house once a day to work out, go to the grocery store, go to the pharmacy. And so one of those books was Multiple Streams of Income. And a couple of chapters in, Michael started reading about real estate investing. He's like, you have to just read this chapter. We have to try this. And so like I said, once we found out that meetups were online and there were so many online blogs and forums and that like there's hundreds of Facebook groups, there's conferences out there. Like we knew that we had the same chance as anyone else from succeeding 4,000 plus miles away. And so to kind of like fast forward, right? Cause there's a lot to this. At first we thought we were going to do single family homes, and the inland hurricane went through our market. So the two properties that we had under contract fell out of escrow. And instead of panicking, we pivoted into multifamily in August of like 2020. And since then we've closed on three deals totaling 196 units. And, you know, we're just here to try to like make an impact with all of our residents and then the residents to come, because that's just like the best part of real estate investing. But yes, so Michael and I are active syndicators in the multifamily space.
That is awesome. And literally say it every time. It's incredible to hear the stories in the background that everyone brings, because as you've found out and you've transitioned, you can have a plethora of different types of backgrounds that come into real estate as long as you have the drive, the motivation to learn. And then, you know, as we're probably going to talk about today, maybe fail forward a little bit in some of the things that you do. That's awesome. I love it. And just real quick question for those playing along at home. Are the fish and chips really that good over there?
So fun fact, Michael and I actually don't eat meat. So we've made tofu fish and chips, which has been really delicious.
Perfect. I love it. Hey, like more power to you. We do Meatless Monday, so I get you. I'm totally on board. Awesome. Yeah. Well, so for today, and I appreciate the intro there. And today I know you wanted to talk about a specific example, a little bit around some of the things that y'all found yourselves in now that you're full-time real estate and doing the investing gig. So if you want to take it away and tell us a little bit about lessons we can learn from.
Well, so I just want to preface this is that like so many people also ask us like, how do you do it from overseas? But it like these problems can happen if you're overseas, if it's in your backyard, if it's 10 miles away, 100 miles away, or 1,000 miles away. So just remember that like this can happen to anyone. And this is why this podcast is great, because these stories share how anything can happen to anyone. It's just like how you react to them is really what makes the difference. But I will let Michael get into our fabulous, fabulous story.
Yeah. So yeah, I want to preface that as well. It's like, you know, the key thing here is that you need to have very open and transparent communication with your property management team. And so how we handle that is through a project management software. And so what we use is Asana. And there's money.com, Trello, things like that. But like we use Asana and we can communicate with our on-site property manager like hourly if necessary, right? Like we do daily communication. And we have all those systems and processes in place to make sure that we are staying on top of everything that's actually happening at our property. You know, this can work if you're, like Susie said, just 10 minutes down the road, 10,000 miles away or 4,000 miles away like we are, right? So, but what we want to share with your audience, Cody, is number one, asset management is not as glamorous as people make it out to be, right? Like there's this whole buildup of like, and all these podcasts are about like getting your first deal and like, finishing, you know, crossing the finish line and closing and stuff like that, everything leading up, you know, from acquisition, well, from beginning of LOI all the way through closing, like there's so much information about how to take down a deal, right? But yeah. There's not a lot of information about asset management. Well, that's why I love your podcast and because it talks about all these dirty stories, right? And like, it's hard, right? And it is a grind and it takes a lot out of us. It's very stressful, can be very stressful, right? So try to minimize that stress. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, to your point, I mean, that's really where I see the real work beginning, right? I mean, you've done a lot of work to close the deal. You win the deal. It's like, great, we did it. Now we got more to do, even more to do, right? There's like this whole back end of it, like of actually meeting and exceeding the pro forma and all the business plans that you put into place. And to your point, we don't hear a ton about that aspect of it. It's more like the, what do you do leading up to winning the deal? So yeah, would love to hear the story today.
Exactly. Yeah. It takes like 3-4 months to close on a deal, but then to carry out the business plan, it's like 3-7 years, right? So it's like all this time, like you're saying, but yeah. So one of the things that we want to share with the audience is like, one of our business plans on the property is to add in-unit washer and dryers. So during due diligence, physical due diligence, we had one of our partners go and measure the area where we were going to put in the washer and dryers. And then we also had our, you know, the plumber come out and give us bids. We had multiple bids and we went with the best one who was going to actually do the proper work. It wasn't the cheapest one, but it was the best one that was actually going to do the drains properly and stuff like that. So went with him. And then, you know, we had our other GP member said that he measured everything. But when we finally closed on the asset and then started doing construction, adding these stackables into the units, found out that the stacks don't actually fit in the area that were supposedly measured, right? And so what we ended up having to do, which ended up costing us like a couple hundred dollars more, it's like, we're going to put them in a closet area. We had now to take that closet down, remove the door frame basically, and then basically like level out the door frame with the wall or whatever. So it worked out, you know, it was a way around it. You know, we pivoted versus panicking again, but it's now costing us a couple hundred dollars more, right? So we're like, okay, we figured out that issue. But now our contractor, the vendor for the plumber who was actually installing all the connections and stuff like that, installed maybe, I don't know, half a dozen and came back to us. He's like, hey, you know, it's actually taking a little bit longer than I thought. I'm actually going to have to rebid you. And he rebid us for twice the price. So going from $2,000 for install to $4,000, right? And we have 48 of these to do. And we were like, that can't work. That can't work. And then he was like, you know what he said on top of this, Cody? He said, I won't install your vents anymore either. So now we have to find, not only were we having a different electrician come through and do everything, because he wasn't going to do electricity, which was fine. And we worked that into our bid and everything like that. But now the plumber is like, I'm not doing your vents anymore, because he did them wrong the first time. So I sent him the specs. There's going to be a 4-inch fence. He ended up installing 3-inch vents. Yes. So he had to go back through and fix all of them and made sure that he did it free of charge because I sent him the specs. He saw them and everything like that. So he fixed all that. And he was like, I'm not doing your vents anymore. And so now guess how much it costs to get vents installed for a pair for 2 units.
I think most people listening know, I don't know the difference between a hammer and a nail. So I'm going to be the wrong person to guess this guessing game.
So $1,500. So For 2 units, right? Because they all kind of like they're stacked on top of each other.
Right.
Oh, and that's another thing too. That now that we're getting into this, this is a nightmare story. The plumber didn't tell us that he can only do 2 units at a time and they have to be up and down. because of the way that the plumbing has to be run and stuff like that. He's like, and so we're like, okay, what do we do? We've come up with an action plan, right? And he's like, well, we'll just wait until the upper and lower is empty. And I was like, no, I was like, that's not going
to
work.
That doesn't like, fit in our business plan to have all these. Like
one of these going to be empty. Like, what are the odds of one, you know, the upper and lower being empty at the same time, right?
Right, exactly.
Yeah. And so, like, okay, how can, he's like, it's too disruptive to actually do when somebody's living there. Because they had the jackhammer on the bottom one, they had the jackhammer on the floor and stuff like that. I was like, okay. For our freak out, I was like, how do we need to come, we need to have a round table, think about this and muscle through. Like, because a lot of times these vendors, they don't, like, in my experience, they don't necessarily think outside the box, right? So you have to be there managing these things and like, what about this idea? What about that idea? Like coming up with ideas yourself. And so what we ended up doing was just like, okay, whenever the bottom one's empty, we'll do the top one as well, because it's not as invasive as a top one. So that's what we move forward with. But going back to the, now we have a double bid on the connections, and now we have a vent, which effectively is almost taking our bid. And then with the studs,
yeah,
I mean, having them remove, not the studs, but removing the door frame. Now effectively taking this triple the price of what we thought it was going to be. So as I say, long story short, we ended up getting a bunch of bids from a bunch of different people, whatever, to try to work this out. And then we're like, hey man, like, we're going to give you the rest of these. Can you cut us some kind of discount? You know, like, you can knock out, we'll make it where you can knock out a bunch all in 1 week instead of doing like two here, two here, two here. And we'll make it all at once. And then you'll be more efficient and things like that. Right. So like trying to think of creative ways to get discounts and stuff like that, which ended up helping. So now I think we're down to about like 2x-ing what we actually initially thought it was going to cost. But yeah, it was a lot of work to get to that point.
And what I want to add to that though is, because like that was the main part of our business plan, right? Like that's a pretty big deal. How do you achieve pro forma rents if you can't get to that point? But the thing is that like you have to, like Michael said, like get really creative, which might be work for you. You know, a lot of people like get a property manager so that they can call the vendors and find all the bids and do all of that. But if this saves you in the long run, your stress will end up being half the amount because the work was done faster. And when I mean work, I mean like searching for new vendors, asking for bids, all of that. Like you'll find a resolution faster. And it makes a big difference. But it's like I said at the beginning, it's really how you react, you know, like how can we get creative? What can we do? And I think something that a lot of people don't do is like post about their problem, because we are surrounded by so many other syndicators who have probably had this happen before or have like a delay in their like main item for their business plan. Other people can come up with creative ideas for you too, right? Like nobody is really reinventing the wheel in this space. So just ask for help, because it goes a long way.
Yeah. No, I'm sure. And I mean, there are tons, as you mentioned, like kind of in the intro, there are a ton of resources, and that's obviously where y'all found, you know, the interest and aspiration to go do this, and a lot of the education. And we're the same way, right? You know, I still listen to podcasts. I'm on Bigger Pockets on a daily basis. Like I'm on the YouTube University to learn all the stuff I can on there. And, you know, as many Audible books as I can listen to, you know, in the background while I'm doing dishes. There's a plethora of different things out there, but I do want to ask, for those that are maybe interested, where was the most effective place that you found to find some of that information and when you were posting or looking for those types of answers in a situation like that?
I think we got a lot of our answers just from our mentor. So we have like an organic mentor that we met who's been a syndicator. Maybe Susie has a different answer than I do.
I do.
But yeah, and I always turn to him because like when I'm freaking out, I'm like, hey man, like we're having this issue. He's like, oh dude, calm down. It's all good. Like, you can do this, this, and this, whatever. And I'm like, okay. Makes me feel like so much better. Right. Like,
right,
And so it's good. He's like, yeah, we've experienced stuff like that before. Just having somebody like tell you, yeah, we've experienced something similar. Like he's like, oh yeah, we were going to install, you know, 4 units at our property. Now it's costing like, you know, $40,000 more, right, than we expected per unit, and things like that. And so you have to be creative. He's like, that's what the best part is. Like, it's really fun. Asset management can be fun. You have to be very creative. But I will say, like, just to kind of close of that story is like, we did have a really good contingency budget built in. And then what we did was like pull back on the reins, like, okay, we need to stop doing all this extra amenity stuff and figure out, okay, what is going to bring us a the biggest ROI, right? So we can achieve our pro forma, right? So so it's very critical. What I've been learning is like, what you do first is you go in and you do all the things that are going to
make you money,
yeah. Right? Do all those construction projects first. And then when you know things are going right with those, then you can start adding a dog park or adding like, you know, new bushes and things like that. Like, and just like those things that aren't going to really bring, I mean, you can't measure the ROI on that. You wait to do those later. But sorry, Susie, did you have another thing you were going to say?
Yeah. So for me, I think the biggest place where I go to ask for help is LinkedIn. Just because, I mean, since it is like a professional networking site, like asking for advice is not uncommon there. And I get way more answers than if I ever would on Facebook. But that's also because like my Facebook, I have tried to leave to be a more like personal space on who I connect with. But on LinkedIn, it's free for all. We can just connect and connect and connect. And if I actually just get like to the point where I don't want to be connected with somebody anymore, it's not that big of a deal. You know, you can just unconnect and it's fine.
Right. Yeah. A little bit harder to do that on the book of face to do that. But LinkedIn, it's like you said, it's kind of the Wild West. Everyone's connected with everyone. And then if you don't want to, it's perfectly fine and acceptable.
Yeah.
No, those are really good lessons. I think that's one thing we keep hearing is having a mentor and having the right mindset when situations like this arise tend to be the things that people will go to, whether it's a mentor you pay for that you know, or even mentors that you can find like on LinkedIn and social media. Of here are things that are going wrong. I can't be the only one. We can't be the only ones that this has happened to. Help, right? What has everyone else done in this situation? Because like I mentioned before, I don't know the difference between hammer and nail. That's not my forte. I would definitely need help and somebody else's expertise in something like that. I love that. And I love what you said, pivoting versus panicking. That I think that aspect is super crucial right there.
Absolutely. We got one more quick story, if that's okay. That's the water lady.
Okay.
So this happened to us recently. So same property, of course. And we got a call from our, so I'm like about to tee off, whatever. It's like Friday evening, whatever. I'm teeing off to go play golf. Like
I'm working.
Susie's working.
It's
like 6 p.m., right? It's so like, I'm trying to get like squeeze 9 holes in before it's dark, right? And anyways, we get a call from our property manager and I didn't see the call come through. And Susie's like, hey, did you see that call from, I was like, no. She's like, wants us to call her immediately. I was like, oh my God, what's happening now? Like on a Friday evening, right? Like what's so urgent that needs,
we thought attention. Someone died.
Thought somebody had died. Like, you know, there's a fire or something, you know, you think the worst, right?
Something catastrophic. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And so like the whole first hole, like I'm just like hacking it down there and waiting for Susie to like call me back to let me know what's going on, because she's going to call me back. And so she called me back. She's like, oh, it's just a water leak. And I was like, first of all, I was like super relieved. But I was like, that somebody didn't die. Right. But then I was like, okay, what's going on? So I don't know if do you want to tell a story?
Yes, I can. So she called me and said, some of the residents can hear running water on like in their walls. And I was like, oh, no. She's like, well, we tried to get in to the apartment home, but the resident has thrown herself on the door and we are too afraid to break it down because it might hurt her. So while she threw herself on the door, she also called the police. So the police show up and this resident will let the police in, but not our property management staff and the maintenance staff, because she is convinced that the maintenance man is going to look at her valuables and take them when she's gone. So the police went in there and he's like, you know, if you don't let them in, you're going to be liable for like the water bill and all this, like what other potential charges there may be. And she's like, that's fine. So policeman comes out and he's like, okay, well, you can technically still try to break down the door or you'll have to like file an eviction. And again, we tried to communicate with her all of that. We ended up having to file an eviction because she wouldn't let us in. And we really did not want to hurt her at all. But she was really upset with us. She was like, this was not handled the right way. And we're like, okay, a week went by and you wouldn't let us in. But the thing is that when the property manager called me, she said the water is leaking at 26 gallons a minute. And I was like, oh, okay, that's a lot of water, but yeah, we'll wait a week. We'll wait a week so that we don't like crush her when we're trying to get in. And then we had our next, our like asset management call, and she goes, so I have to tell you, like, I feel bad because I told you the wrong number. I was like, oh, okay, cool. What was the number? She's like 2.6. I'm like, well, yeah, right.
Small decimal place error there. Right. Yeah, my heart's fine.
Right. I was like, okay, well, that makes a difference. But like now in the long run, it was just wild. I mean, we found out that her water heater was just not turning off. Like that was just running. So there wasn't damage anywhere, but it's stuff that we just didn't think we'd have to do, you know, like evictions. We knew that was probably going to have to happen, but to not let somebody in because she thinks that the maintenance staff is going to steal her stuff later on when she's not there. Like that was just not, that was not in our radar. You know, that was just, that's not something that people talk about. So that was definitely a fun journey because I thought that instead of having one pool, I was just going to have a lake for a property and found out that we still just have one pool.
There you go. Well, you have the pool, but thankfully all is at least as well as it can be in that situation. But to your point, I don't think we hear enough about those types of like nitty gritty details about like we hear sometimes the major stuff, but like the smaller independent, like dealing with one occupant and what they're going through. That's a whole, like, you don't even think about that kind of stuff to your point, Susie. It's just not even in our wavelength, but I'm sure we could probably go way over and talk about a bunch more stuff. It sounds like this property is a lot of fun, if you will, but I really appreciate you guys being on board, coming on the show, sharing your experience, especially with our audience and helping us get educated on these types of things. I really do appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely, Cody. It was a pleasure chatting, and it's refreshing to share our woes with other people.
Yeah. Listen, it's almost therapeutic, right? Yes. We need to get them out into the world and let them know like, hey, it's okay. We survived. Look, yeah. We're making it. So for those that want to connect with you, work with you, invest with you, whatever it may be, we'd love to know and tell our audience the best place where people can find y'all.
Yeah, the best way to get a hold of us, Cody, is go to adventurousrei.com/info. And there's actually a landing page where we have like all of our links. So you can return, you can find.
Us. Yeah. We're here to stay.
You can find on there return on impact. So that's another ROI that we focus on. So you can read more about that. You can connect with us via our podcast, The Adventures of a Real Estate Investor. We talk about how people are leveraging real estate in order to make an impact in their world. And you can find our YouTube channel where we talk about asset management, things mm-hmm. like that, and also how to take down your first deal. And on the same page, you can find a way to connect with us on LinkedIn, as Susie mentioned. And if you do connect with us, make sure you say, hey, I heard you on Cody's podcast, and we will be sure to connect with you. So, yeah.
Hey, awesome. That's awesome. And we'll make sure to put all the links in the show notes for everyone listening so you can quickly access all that and click on it right from there. Susie, Michael, I'll say it again. Thank you so much for joining us. It truly has been a pleasure having you on today.
Yeah, thank you so much. We are so glad to share our unsuccess story with you.
Awesome, you guys. Well, hey, take care. We appreciate everything. We'll see y'all later.
Thanks, Cody.
Absolutely. And thanks everyone for listening. We'll catch everyone next time.
You've been listening to the Real Estate Unsuccess Stories podcast with Cody Lewis. Be sure to subscribe today on your favorite podcasting platform so you can catch every episode of the Real Estate Unsuccess Stories podcast.